This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Michael Yon. Michael Yon / locals.com is where to see Michael's reporting. He's in Panama, having again ventured to the Darien Gap, picking up information about immigrants coming from the global south to the global north. This is going on in Europe. It's going on in Asia. It's going on in the Americas. The flow here is about climate, it's about bad governance, it's about opportunity. But at the same time, it's about famine. And Michael, I pick up on an interview that Gideon Rockman, the foreign correspondent columnist for the Financial Times, has published with David Miliband, who is president of the International Rescue Committee, the IRC, well-known international NGO. He was foreign secretary of the United Kingdom in the last Labour government. I pick up on David Miliband's comment. Well, I think that our diagnosis is that in 2022, the consequences of Ukraine for the global economy, consequences in terms of food prices, energy prices, rising interest rates, that's been the kicker on countries like Afghanistan or Somalia or Ethiopia or Yemen or Syria, where there's long-term conflict and the climate crisis together. So in our report, new report, we identify conflict as a driver of 70 to 80% of humanitarian need, often exacerbated by the climate crisis. And now, an economic kicker in the form of this rather striking statistic. Food price inflation in 20 countries on our watch list is 2 to 3 times higher, 40% over the year than in the advanced industrial countries where it's been bad enough. Michael, I'm reporting that it's $5 to $6 a carton of eggs in the United States. It's $6 for a loaf of bread in the United States. What Miliband is pointing to is genuine famine because people cannot afford those prices. They change their diets. Genuine famine in the global south. You picked up on this 2 years ago and a year ago. Has it accelerated, Michael? Have you seen a change on the road?
Definitely accelerating. In fact, I'm with Chuck Holton now at his home in Ovalle, and the farmer that he knows named Sebastian, 73 years old. For the first time in his life, he's not able to afford his fertilizers this year. He can't afford the inputs. He's not even going to be planting. And that's just the farmer, one farmer. But you know, I was on with Chris Martinson yesterday from Peak Prosperity, and you know, he's been tracking this as well. And you know, Chris points out, 40% of the food in the world is produced by little farmers like that. It's a huge amount, right? And as you know, I first started warning about famine in January and February, March of 2020, because when there's a pandemic, you know, if there's a significant pandemic, there's always famine, period, without exception. Of course, this quote-unquote pandemic was not exactly a yellow fever type sweep across the world, but it was it treated as if it was such a serious pandemic, and therefore the lockdowns and all sorts of other things happened as if it were a real serious pandemic. And now we've got a man-made famine unfolding on a global scale. And as you know, I've been all over Europe last year warning about this at BASF, the chemical plant at Ludwigshafen, Germany, which is the first plant in 1915 or arguably 1913 to start creating nitrogenous fertilizers on the Rhine River there. It's a 10 square kilometer factory. There's 29 chemical plant. Now there's 29 similar plants like Yara and others across Europe, and of course, many around the world. But these natural gas prices are so high. Actually, let me step back. The Haber-Bosch process is the process through which the chemical process, one of the most important processes in all of mankind, Haber-Bosch process, is the process of taking the hydrogen off the natural gas and combining that with the nitrogen that we breathe and making ammonia, right? And with that ammonia, they use urea, ammonium sulfate, ammonium nitrate, and these sorts of things as the nitrogenous fertilizers. So this started going industrial scale in 1915. In Germany, of course, also explosives are derived from the same process, so it wasn't all about growing corn. But the bottom line is, now we see with the natural gas prices through the roof, we saw Nord Stream 1 and 2 blown up. Of course, Nord Stream 2 wasn't actually flowing, it was pressurized, but Nord Stream 1 was the feedstock for BASF and some other plants, and bottom line is there's just not enough nitrogenous fertilizers in the world. That is a huge component of this. Another big component is, processes that are derivative of these chemical plants, such as fungicides, pesticides, herbicides, AdBlue, which we call DEF in the United States, which is the additive for diesel engines, the newer diesel engines that supposedly for emissions, but it's obviously really about control. Bottom line, we could go on for hours about this, but the inputs are just not going to be there. There's just not going to be enough food for all the people on Earth, and that's going to really start to hit sometime this year. Countries like Brazil and India are not going to have enough nitrogenous fertilizers. I flew to Thailand last year and met with an old friend. He's a former prime minister of Thailand, Abhisit, and I warned him. I said, I was just over in Germany and Ireland and these other places studying this issue. And Thailand, I know you export a lot of rice and these sorts of things, but rice sucks the nitrogen right out of the soil. And Thailand's soil is nitrogen poor, right? And Thailand used about 5 million, imported about 5 million metric tons of nitrogenous fertilizers last year. It only creates about 8% of what it needs. It imports the other 92%, right? And so, Thailand's just, when you're talking about food exports, you have to look at the balance sheet and go, yeah, but how much energy do we import? How much fertilizers do we import? How many chemicals that are used in these processes do we import? And those chemicals are, a lot of the fertilizers, they're just not going to be there. So we don't know how this is going to shape out. You and I were talking off air before we started about you've seen eggs being smuggled from Mexico into the United States now. One of the things that you'll find as you study famine, and I would suggest everybody just read 5 random books on famine, and you'll start to see some patterns pump out. One of the main patterns that you'll see is food smuggling. It's not about gold and all this other stuff. It's about food. You can buy a house for a sack of potatoes when everybody's starving. And, many books will talk about this issue. For instance, When Money Dies is an excellent book on it, or Mao's Great Famine, or Red Famine, so many. Black Potatoes, I've read so many. And, but the bottom line is you're starting to see the egg smuggling. You're just going to see so much of this. It's going to be over the top. You'll see people rustling cattle, stealing sheep. It's going to be the normal thing.
Michael Yon, he is in Panama. He's headed back to the Darien Gap. He has many adventures to relate. We're going to wait for him for another week before we get a good count of what is the nationality dominating the passageway from the Darien Gap up Central America to the American border, we presume. Michael Yon at MichaelYon/locals.com for his reporting. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.